LEX18 presents a podcast with hot takes, hot topics, with your hosts, Megan Mannering and Evelyn Schultz. This is Hot Mike.
Everyone, and welcome back to another week here on Hot Mike.
We have a very important guest because I kind of feel like our jobs depend on this man. So we need to do a really good job with this podcast. He is a 1987 grad of Woodford County High School. Yes. 1991 grad of Moorhead, started from the bottom. Now he's here. Our VP and general manager, Sean Franklin. Welcome to Hot Mike.
Thank you, guys. I'm glad to be here. Kind of.
He said this goes against everything he believes in. Yep. As a someone who's been behind the scenes your entire career, right?
A long time.
Mm-hmm.
I've only been on camera that I can remember one time.
Was that on air at LEX18?
Yeah.
What and happened?
That was because that we had the Super Bowl that year, and there was an ice storm coming, and we were freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And the news director wanted me to talk about the steps we were taking to keep the station on the air. And I didn't want to do it, but the GM made me do it.
And now you're in that those shoes. So.
How the turntables.
That was the one time. Now here I am.
Wow. Yeah, you are a pretty private person. And as we were preparing for the podcast, several people were like, I don't know anything about Sean. We need to get to the bottom of who Sean Franklin is.
Do you really want to?
I think we do.
I don't know if I am private, mm-hmm. but I think people know me too.
Yeah.
It takes a little bit to get to know me.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do, then, you know, it's wide open.
You know, I think people think you're like the cool guy, general manager.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go. We can start on that.
Okay. Why?
Well, when you see the pictures that we have today, that's why everyone will know.
Yeah.
You're the cool guy general manager.
We want to get into how you became the general manager.
Okay.
Because you've been at the station for a long time. Also, this is good timing because I don't know if you knew this. It was exactly 1 year ago today when you were announced as the GM for LEX18.
Yes, 1 year.
Happy 1 year anniversary.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been a long year.
It's been a lot.
Uh-huh. But it's been good.
Yeah.
So how I got started, I went to Moorhead State University. Always knew I wanted to be in broadcasting. In those days, I thought I wanted to be in radio.
Okay.
Right? Radio was big. It was the late 80s, early 90s, right? I'm really fortunate that at Moorhead, they made us take all kinds of classes around broadcasting, radio, television, broadcast law, engineering, all of it. I remember this exact time. Mm-hmm. We did a show, and I don't remember the name of the show, but it was my turn to direct. You had a technical director, and you had all the crew, and I was behind everybody, and I was calling the shots, and it clicked. It's like, oh, I like this. I like this.
Because you were in charge.
I was in charge. Mm-hmm. I was making my vision into reality.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Did you like the pressure of that? Like the show is kind of riding on you?
Yes. I thrive off of that.
Yeah. And that's what live TV is, right?
That's what live TV is. Mm-hmm. If you make a mistake, you've made a mistake. There's no fixing it. There's no taking it back.
Mm-hmm.
But when it goes well, you get that sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
And that was the first time.
Wow.
And from that point, I really focused on it. Shout out to Moorhead. Like, I had the best. They prepared me for this business. When I left there, I was ready to start. Mm-hmm. There's a lot I didn't know. But when I walked into WLEX-TV, mm-hmm. a month after I got out of school, met Dwayne Murray, first time. You guys remember Dwayne?
Yeah.
Right? And as a camera operator for the morning show. And the morning show started at 6 a.m.
Wow.
Those days, late. and fell in love with it. I was hooked. And there were so many great people around me. You guys know some of the names.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Wesley.
Bootsy.
Yes.
as we call him at the station.
taught me, showed me the ropes, not just the technical things, but what this is really about. We had tons of fun, but we were serious about it, mm-hmm. right? We wanted to do good work and enjoy each other and learn from each other doing it. And that's how I got started.
Okay.
Well, you, oh, sorry.
Oh, well, you've really like climbed the ranks. You've
yeah.
worked in different departments, mm-hmm. had some different positions.
Yeah. So I started in production as mm-hmm. as a camera operator. There was a young woman at the time that was, do you guys want the whole story?
Like, we want the whole story, Sean.
This is Hot Mic.
Right? She was pregnant. She was going on maternity leave. She did graphics, and I was going to be the fill-in, so I learned to do graphics. She didn't come back full-time. All right.
There you go.
Graphics gig, right? There was a person, that was a morning show. I am a morning person. I didn't like working the morning show.
Mm-hmm.
There was a young lady who was on the evening. She wanted to move to the morning, so we swapped shifts. I went to evening. I always wanted to be a director. My vision was I was going to be a director in a big market mm-hmm. eventually. Mm-hmm. So let me just start here. I'll move around. And I just wanted to be in a big city as a director. I don't know. Television. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that was my goal. Learned to direct. Shout out to Jeff McVeigh. He taught me how to direct. Kim Cuthbert.
I know Kim. Yeah.
They all just poured into me. And I was willing to learn and do whatever I could do. And in those days, right, the production crew was 7 people that just did one show. Mm-hmm. And we had a blast. We laughed. We fought. Right? There was tension. But you really did good work. And mm-hmm. they taught me how to do TV at a high level.
Yeah.
And really care about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I directed for a while. In those days, directors also did commercial work between shows. Clients would come in and I would direct the 6 o'clock newscast, take a break, come back and edit commercials until
wow.
I did the 11 and then went home.
Yeah.
So I did commercial work for a while there. I worked in creative services full time for that bit as well. And I had, this is where the turning point came. I went for a job interview in Providence, Rhode Island.
And you grew up in Woodford County.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Versailles guy.
Right.
Yeah.
So at this point, had you ever lived outside of Kentucky?
No.
Okay.
Went to school in Woodford County. Went to Moorhead. Mm-hmm. Worked in Lexington. So I figured I'd go to the Northeast, Providence, get to mm-hmm. Boston, New York, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can see.
Yeah.
That was my plan. Went there. Killed the interview. Had it. Right? Came back. Told my then production supervisor, Phil Smith, hey, this is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get my notice.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out to Phil. He's like, well, hang on. Have you ever thought about going into management? And I was like, no. This was April. And they were planning a trip to NAB, the convention in Las Vegas. And the station was about to build this building. And they were looking for the equipment. He said, well, can you give me like a month? So I called the guy. He's like, yeah, sure. They took me to Vegas. I got to demo all the new gear. Like, seriously, walk up, sit there. They
like kid in a candy shop.
Yeah. That's probably your dream.
All of it, right? At the end of the show, I remember we sat in a room with all the vendors, Sony, Grass Valley, Panasonic, all of them. The GM looked at me and said, what do you want? And I told him, and that's what mm-hmm. he ordered.
No way.
Wow.
I was hooked. Came back, told the guy, nah, I don't want.
Like, nah. All right, Lexington is
anywhere.
About 6 months later, I was production manager.
Wow.
Right? This building got done in the middle of that. That control that we talked about with mm-hmm. the directing, being able, someone valued my opinion enough that they invested millions of dollars mm-hmm. in what I thought was right.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty cool feeling.
That was a cool feeling. So that's how I became production manager.
Mm-hmm.
Did that for a few years. We moved from the old building to this building. The company was sold to Cordillera Communications in the middle mm-hmm. of that as well. We started to grow. We really started to take momentum and become like what we are today.
Yeah.
That's where that started. You know, I'm still a production guy at heart.
And that's unique for a general manager, right?
Oh, it is unheard of.
Most general managers come from a sales background.
Yes, yes. And I worked in that for a while. I took over Master Control because it was a hot mess. And we got that
Get organized. Sean on the job.
It was.
Yeah.
Kevin McGuffey taught me how to do Master Control. Mm-hmm. And we kind of got that together. Shout out to Kevin. Mm-hmm. You guys know Kevin. Mm-hmm. It was right before the conversion to HD, way back in the day. Everything was SD, right? We were going to convert to digital and HD. And the then general manager, my mentor, Tim Gilbert, called me down to the office that I now sit in and said, hey, I want you to take over engineering. And I said, what are you talking about? I'm not an engineer. Right? I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm not a trained engineer. Mm-hmm. I don't.
That would be very intimidating.
It was incredibly intimidating. But he said, I know, but I just need a leader to lead that team to get this done. The rest you can learn. And he was right. And I trusted him, and I did it. And my first big project was converting from analog to digital.
How long did that take?
We did it in like 6 months.
Wow.
That's how I got into, I took over engineering. Mm-hmm. That's how I got into the engineering world. And I started just to learn that with the help of, especially Sam Gordon. Again, shout out to Sam. Sam was in the newsroom, moved to engineering, and he and I had a bond because he was a producer while I was a director. So he, I would always ask questions, what does that mean? And he would tell me, and I just learned and learned and learned and learned. And that's how I got into engineering world. It's a long story.
Well, you've been here for a long time.
I've been here for a long time.
Yeah, what year did you start here?
1991. July.
We, neither of us were born yet.
I knew you were going to say that.
I'm nothing if not predictable. But that just goes to show you've been here
a long time. I've been able to do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that for a while. I worked at corporate for Cordillera for a while. The then vice president of engineering was retiring. He came here to visit, and he told me that. I was like, why are you coming to tell me? And he said, I think you should go for that.
Yeah.
And I did. I got that, and that was a great experience. That put me as an engineer over the 12-station group in Cordillera, right? I got to travel to all those stations. Beautiful, you guys know Montana, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And those transmitter sites on top of the mountain in the summertime, there is nothing better. So I did that for a while, and then when Cordillera was sold, I got to sit in on all those meetings.
Wow.
With all the TV groups came to the Twin Cities, and we sat there and we talked to everybody. And I got to sit in all those meetings, and I learned so much.
That had to be so interesting.
It was incredibly interesting. There I met Ray Thurber, who was the VP of engineering for Scripps at the time.
Okay.
We drove around Montana when they were looking at all the stations. Me, Ray, Brian Lawler, and John Saunders in John Saunders' truck.
I know John Saunders.
Yeah. And we, one night, I think we were in Billings. He said, Ray said, what do you want to do? I was like, well, I want to keep doing what I'm doing. And he said, well, we don't have those jobs, but I need a new DOE in Lexington. Would you be willing to go back there? And I said, absolutely. So I came back to I never left Lexington, but I came back to LAX.
Yeah.
That was a great experience. Shout out to Ray. He's a great guy. You know, did that for a few years, worked with our former GM, Andrew, right? A lot. Andrew and I knew each other from when he was here as a sales manager and then in Lafayette. So we had stayed in touch over the years, really just soaked up all the knowledge I could get from him. So when that job came open, I went for it and I got it.
What made you think that you were the one to be general manager? You know, why did you think now was the right time and you were the person for the job?
I knew I could do it and I know my limitations and I was upfront about that. I knew that I can run a television station. I'm not trying to be arrogant, but I can't. Yeah. I know how to do that. I know how to build teams. I know how to make things happen. The sales part was, I knew I didn't know enough about it. And I was upfront about that, right? When I talked to Lynn and Dean, I said, hey, I know, but I can do this. And honestly, from the time I talked to Lynn the first time to the next time, I went to school with our then DOS and general manager, and they showed me the books and everything. So when I talked to her the second time, I had it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear like this recurring theme in your whole story and career here of being a sponge and just taking in every tidbit of information you can and being patient, but balancing that with like seizing the moment. What a cool story and a good lesson for people who are getting into the industry, right?
And that is, I learned that at Morehead. They told us, pick up all the information you can. You never know. And be ready for the opportunity when the opportunity comes. Don't wait for the opportunity. You kind of have to do the job before the job is open.
Yeah.
That's right? A good lesson, yeah.
And that was a lesson. And I've always, I've been blessed to have people around me that were willing to pour into me. And then I could ask the questions and they would sometimes get frustrated. That's the engineering team because I would bug them. But I would ask the question because I just wanted to know. And what does this do? And I always joke, they would say, well, what does this button do? Is simply, and I would push the button to find out what it did.
It's the best way to figure it out, right?
Talk, but let's figure it out. And I've been fortunate. And I, Tim Gilbert, like in my heart of hearts, got me where I am today. He is my GM for life. He is my mentor in this industry. He took the time. He saw something in me, right? He was demanding, but respectful, was clear. This is what we're doing. Go do this and it'll work out. And he was right, right? And to this day, the second person I called after my wife when I got this job was Tim G. Right? And he, of course, like, of course you can do it. Right? He was like, yeah, of course.
Right. He never doubted.
They would be dumb for not, you know, and but he's always been that.
Yeah.
He's one of the, but I've had, shout out to Andrew. I came to Andrew and he supported me through that whole thing. And when I asked questions, he answered them. And if he couldn't tell me, he wouldn't tell me. Right. But I've been fortunate to have people around me that would always pour into me and help me get to wherever I wanted to get.
What is your best piece of advice for someone who's entering the industry now? It's changed a lot since you started, right? You named off just a ton of positions that no longer exist at a TV station.
Correct.
Well, how should a young person stand out if they're going into broadcast television?
I still think the premise is the same. Be a sponge. You can't just do one thing and succeed in this business, especially now. Can I shoot and edit? You guys know this, right? Can I write and edit and produce? What can I do? What kind of tools can I bring to the leadership that makes me valuable? And you just have to do that. And you have to lean into your strengths. What are you good at? And lean into that, foster that, build it, and learn. Be willing to learn and change. This industry now is changing every day, right? And the people who are going to be successful and can survive that are going to be the ones that can pivot and change when the time comes. And that's no different from when I started. It's just the industry's changed. There's not as many people in this building as there were. The production department is a fraction of what it used to be, but we're still producing the same thing, if not more content. So you have to just be up, not be afraid and be able to pivot and be willing to learn. And it never stops.
Yeah. And you're a testament to that. I have to brag for a minute because the day that you were announced, you could feel like a collective sigh of relief, I think, across the building. There was a little bit of a search and some interviews for GM. And when they said, Sean Franklin's the new GM, it was like, man, like, he's one of us. He's one of ours. And you've put in the time and everybody was just really jazzed for you. And it's been cool to see you move into this role and lead the station. I have a question, though, because you went to Morehead and there are, you call it the Morehead Mafia.
Yes.
There are several of you here.
There are several of us.
I'm thinking back to some of, I mean, the degenerates that I went to college with, and I can't imagine being in a work setting with them. What is it like working with people that you knew in college, like a lifetime ago, right?
It's amazing.
Is it so fun?
Because we all learned together. We did shows together, college shows. Keith Farmer, Kevin McGuffey, Billy Williamson, Tim Young. We were learning together as kids, right? And knowing that this is what we wanted to do. So now to look at where we are, Tim and I do this all the time. We take a second to stop. It's like, look at where we are and what we've done. And we've done exactly the things that we said we were going to do and that we want to do. And I don't take that for granted for one day, not one day, to be blessed to do that, right? Be able to make enough money to take care of my family and live and all the experiences that I've experienced. I don't take that for granted for one second. And I'm so proud of those guys, right? Mm-hmm. We have done so much together, right? I mean, we fight and we argue, but we are all
they're your brothers.
They're my brothers. They, yeah. That's what we did together. So, and it's like yesterday that we were just in Breckenridge Hall in Moorhead.
Getting into some trouble.
Learning how to do TV.
Oh, is that, that's a, that's a campus building, I guess.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
No. What were you all in a dorm together? Do you have any stories? You know,
we went to T, Sean.
They weren't my.
Yeah. What kind of college?
They weren't my circle.
Oh,
in college.
Okay. Just
you were cooler than them.
No.
Recorded.
They were your classmates.
They were my classmates. We connected through.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
TV, radio. That's how we connected. That's why that bond is.
Yeah.
But we didn't. Like, we didn't run together.
The TV bond, though, that is
it's something.
It's like, you've been in the trenches together
a
little bit.
Some of my friends from my very first station, my first market, they're your friends for life.
Right.
You don't even have to talk to them that often, but you know that.
I've made friends for life through this.
Yeah.
And we've experienced highs and lows, right? When you know you work in a television station, I remember standing in Master Control September 11th.
Wow.
Watching it on Rodney Douglas came and found me. It's like, what is going on? Right? Plane crashes, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
I was here. Ice storms and all that. I was there. It was TV. I was here.
A front row seat
with the people trying to get the information out.
Yeah.
So you build those bonds that nothing. I sat and talked to Richard Wesley couple days ago and we just talked right. I miss him. He's not here every day, but that bond will never be shaken. And I've met so many incredible people who just wanted to do this and do it well, and I don't take it for granted for one second.
Should we look at some photos?
Oh, we should look at some photos. We have to.
I think it's a must. Let's see.
Cue them up.
We'll have to have you sort of explain what's going on in these photos.
Okay, I'll try. All right,
for those who are listening. So that's you, clearly.
That's the back, the side of my head. Yeah. That's so you guys know how big the Derby is for us.
Oh, huge. Yeah.
And that's the production truck. And I was like, wasn't producing. I was like a technical producer.
Okay.
Do you know when this would have been? What year?
I don't know what year that was. No. Like 2013, 2014.
Okay.
Maybe. You guys, the Derby is another.
It's incredible.
Pinch me moment.
And I tell you, that's one of the biggest, when I take pride in something, the Derby. Because, and it's going to sound like I'm bragging, but it's not.
Bragging is allowed on
Hot
Mic.
When we started,
it's right, actually encouraged.
When we first started, it was one camera out of a satellite truck.
No way.
Off to the side. You guys know where the chute is?
Yeah.
Off to that corner right there? That's how it started. And I work with my partner, Sam Gordon, and every year we built that thing up. We added two cameras. We talked to the guys at Churchill. We moved up on the roof. Oh, and can we go here? And we figured it out. We talked our GM into letting us rent a production truck that grew into a 60-foot semi-trailer, full HD, tons of cameras to what we see today.
Yeah.
Right. But we started that out of the satellite truck.
I didn't know that. I knew what it is now, which is amazing and impressive for a local TV station to pull that off every year.
No one does that.
No.
And
but
we
started small.
And again, people believed in us and let us just play TV and invested in us. And we always push, like, next year, how do we do it better? How do we do this better? How do we get bigger? How do we get bigger? And it's into that monster that we all see now. And it's tons of work. It's incredibly difficult. There's a lot of moving pieces, but we do it at a high level every year, and we take pride in that. So that was that. I was in the truck.
Okay.
That's what I was doing.
Bringing it all together for Derby.
Let's see the next one. Also might be in the. Is that also still in the truck at Derby?
Okay.
See Paul in the front.
Yep.
With his hat.
He hasn't really changed at all either.
Yeah. See, all these are Derby. That's the production truck.
Wow.
Yeah. Great people. Again, great people.
There's our news director, Jen
There's
Smith,
Jennifer
in the
right
front.
There in the front. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The short hair. Yeah. It's so fun to see people through the years. Yeah.
And you know, another thing I love about LEX 18 is there are people here, you know, you're not really an anomaly. There are people who have been here almost their entire careers, which I think is really cool as an employee to be able to learn.
And it's unusual in this business because we've all heard, and it's kind of true, that you have to move around positions to grow. I didn't have to, and it's unusual. Mm-hmm. And people still look at me sideways. Well, how did you do that? It's like, it just worked out for me that way.
Yeah.
But it's not normal. There's nothing normal about me.
But I think but it's what makes WLEX special, though.
Oh, for sure. And Jennifer, like our bond, Jennifer was a producer.
Yeah.
And I was a director and a production manager.
So did you used to do shows together? Mm-hmm. She would be producing when you were directing?
And now you're running the station together?
Yeah. And that also has to forge a bond, because when you're producing a show...
You guys know how that is?
Yeah.
You know how that works? And so we have a bond.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Listen, I'll tell you, Jennifer Smith was my biggest advocate for this job. We took our boss, Lynn Plantinga, shout out to Lynn, she's awesome. When it was announced, we took her out to lunch. And before I could even get it out, Jennifer was singing my praises and said, she looked at her and said, we have the GM now, you don't need to do anything else. You guys know Jennifer.
I can hear her saying that.
Totally.
She said it.
Yeah.
You probably shouldn't have said it with me sitting there, because what am I going to do? But... she was my advocate from the beginning, and we didn't plan that or anything. She just, you guys know Jennifer. She just said what was on her mind. So she's always been in my corner.
I love that.
And I don't take that for granted.
That had to be a good feeling too, to hear that unprompted, even if you were a little embarrassed.
Yeah. But Jennifer is, that cares about this station, cares about the news product, cares about the people that do it. Again, that's what's special about this place. There's people that are invested in it. Yeah, it's a television station. Yeah, we do news. Yeah, we do a lot of content. We do cool podcasts and all that. But it's about the people. And if you get the right people, put them in the right places, try to do the best you can. Every day is not a good day. But it all works out. It really does.
Yeah. I think that sets LEX 18 apart, too. I do feel like we're seen as people first and then journalists, and the managers genuinely care. Jen is a great leader. You are as well. So, it helps the product when you're happy to come to work.
Without people and good people, the rest doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. That's one of the things I learned from Derby. You have to build, right? They go out there, the engineering and production team, on that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday morning, you're running cables. It could be raining. You still got to get it all set up. So when you guys arrive, it's ready to go.
It actually is. You almost feel sort of bad as someone on the on-air side of things, because we just show up and sit down and get to work. And there's so much
that has gone into it before that point. But you take pride in that.
Mm-hmm.
We want you guys to roll in there, sit down, put your mic on, IFB. You know, there's always mic problems. There's always IFB problems. And that it works. Mm-hmm. That's a prideful thing.
Yeah.
And then you execute that show. And there's no better feeling than when it's done. And it's like, oh, look what we did.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, right? Because a lot of people don't get to do, even in this industry, wherever I go when I talk to people, they always ask me about that. Because no local television station gets to do that. Yeah. Wave in Louisville, right? But we're the anomaly. Nobody does that.
It's really cool.
It's rare.
Speaking of cool, too, there is a photo involving a mustache multiple photos. And there's also a celebrity in one of these photos that you might not remember.
Oh, yeah.
Woody Harrelson.
Yeah,
is that in the station? Was he here?
Yeah.
Why was he here?
That was back in the day when he was promoting to legalize hemp.
Wow.
And he came to Kentucky.
Interesting.
Yeah. That had to be early 2000s. Yeah, Sean, look at that mustache.
That stash.
Look at that.
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Pretty, like, it's on point, right?
That was a choice.
Look at that. It was. it was the early 2000s.
But that, I would say that was the look at the time, right?
I mean, I like to think so.
Hey. I think you should bring it back. Let's see if it works now.
No.
Doesn't approve
not
of that it. Of yeah. that look. Yeah. We've all had some interesting looks through the years. But yeah, that's
another
fun to
example.
See.
Like Woody Harrelson was in the building and we just took a picture. He's just a nice guy. We sat and talked to him.
That's really cool.
It's so random.
Random.
But cool.
It's a television station. That those things can happen at any time. Yeah. So we took a picture with him.
You never know what you're going to run into.
You don't.
Truly.
And going back to Derby, I feel that way at the Derby, covered Barnstable Brown, the red carpet. I got to meet, as someone who grew up in Indiana, I got to meet Peyton Manning. And that was really cool for me, right? And you don't get to do that in that many jobs. It's such a privilege.
Who's the most famous person you've met at the Derby?
Peyton Manning might be up there.
Jack
Harlow, he and I have some beef.
Okay.
Yeah,
one-sided
story there.
That is good for Hot Mike. He's probably one of mine.
Yeah.
Well, who's yours?
Larry Smith.
Who is?
I have not covered the red carpet yet.
Maybe we got to get you on there.
I think so.
Maybe. It's fun.
I got to meet and talk to Mary J. Blige.
Oh, at Derby?
That's
how
cool.
is she?
She's awesome.
Yeah.
she did the national anthem that year.
Oh, cool.
And here's a Derby secret. I don't know if you guys know this. Mm. So the best place to watch the Derby, there's two really great places, I think, to watch the Derby. That first turn, you guys have done that.
Yeah.
Because you hear the horses coming and they blast past you. That's awesome. Fifth floor balcony right by the spires.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. You know this mic is hot, right?
I know. It's a great place.
You're going to be fighting people off.
Best spot to watch the Derby.
Okay.
Friend of mine who used to work here, Devin Ramaj, we have a camera location there. And I would go up there. We'll go up there and watch the Derby. And I'm going to tell a secret, but Devin, he'll be all right. So Devin used to talk to the waiters and waitresses up there because they're serving food.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know how the Derby food's better now. But and I would go up there and there'd be plates of like steak and lobster. Like he had talked to the waiters and things all day. So they were bringing us food and we watched the Derby. And that's why I met Mary J. She was walking through. And I stopped and talked to her.
So casual.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So is she your most famous person probably?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. That I've met at the Derby, yeah.
Andrew Lamparsky got to meet Simone Biles last year, and I was jealous of that because Olympic gymnast.
That's pretty cool.
That's cool about the Derby. And like, let's be honest, Kentucky, not a lot of famous people roll through here.
Unless it's the Derby.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's an opportunity, and we are everywhere there.
Mm-hmm.
You're all over that place.
Yeah.
Who knows who you're going to run into?
Totally. It's kind of fun.
So, yes, it's a great experience.
It is. I'm getting excited for
already
Derby
for
now.
Derby.
And we are months and months away.
I'm still excited about it.
Yeah.
I don't do it like I used to, but that's okay, too. The team we have doing it now, they're great. They're awesome. Mm-hmm. Right? And there comes a time where you turn it over. Someone turned it over to me now, and I turned it over to the next generation. I sound like a really old man. But anyway, they're awesome. And they've taken it to another level on how they're doing it. But it's still quality stuff that you can be proud of that only LAX 18 does.
Only LAX 18.
Spoken like a true general manager.
Yeah, no one can do it like us.
I do have a question because I started in the business in 2016. So it's almost been 10 years. And even then, people were saying, oh, the business is done. You know, You came into this business at the wrong time because the best days are behind us. That's sort of been a feeling that I have heard a lot over the past 10 years. Not here, really, but what do you say to people who say, TV, it's never going to be the same and kind of have a...
It's not going to be the same that it was, but what is?
Mm-hmm.
It's different than when I started. I joke. I was like, I missed the heyday of being a GM with like my own car and a secretary and
totally
country club
kind of
membership,
mad
things. I don't have that. But the industry's changing, but so is the world.
Mm-hmm.
We have opportunities, and we just have to navigate through that. It's not the staffs aren't as big, but technology is different. We would have never been able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
10, 12 years ago?
Right. Would this have even been a thought?
Well, I wouldn't even thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you just need to be able to navigate through that and be ready for the next thing and pivot with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be painful sometimes, but growing pains are. With how audiences are fragmented and there's so many ways of getting our message out there, but we're leaning into getting our message out there in all mm-hmm. those ways so we can be successful. So I don't buy into that, oh, TV is always dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we're more than we're not TV anymore. We're a media company. We provide content. And if we think about it that way, then it makes total sense. Mm-hmm. Now, those airwaves and that bandwidth is valuable. So we can't leave that alone.
Absolutely.
Either, right? But it's just how you navigate through that. Mm-hmm. So I don't buy into that.
Okay.
Yeah. When you think of the future of LEX18, what makes you excited?
Things like this. Honestly, this came up from Evie looking at me and over
kind
lunch.
It was a joke. It honestly was a joke.
I want to do a podcast.
I want to do a podcast. And I was like, really? She's like, yes. I said, okay.
That was it.
That was it, right?
Yeah.
I was a witness. Yes, that is what happened.
I came back to the station.
Mm-hmm.
I walked into the engineering team and I was like, I want to do a podcast. They said, okay.
Did they think you wanted to be the host initially?
No, they knew better than that. A week later, they had a plan and we started executing.
They were incredible. They were immediately sending chair links. You know, what do you think of these chairs and these microphones?
Yeah.
And
so that's always been what is fun about TV. And that's mm-hmm. what's fun now. And it can be demanding. Like, I'm demanding as a leader. There's certain things that I just want done.
Mm-hmm.
I want everything done well. And people, I've worked with the engineers a long time. So we have that relationship built up that they know I could walk back there at any time and say, I want to do a podcast and walk out. And then they know that they need to come up with options.
Mm-hmm. They'll get to work.
They'll get to work on it. They'll ask, what's the budget? Well, there is not one. So let's figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did. And that's what they do. That's why we work at a high level, because they can do that.
That's really cool.
I mean, I walked in there one day and said, I want to knock out these two walls. And here's why. And a week later, Tim had somebody in here taking walls down.
To have that kind of I don't want to say power. That's going to sound
power.
Bad.
It's not power.
That vision.
It's a vision. It's a vision for sure.
I like I said, I'm a production guy at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see TV.
Mm-hmm. Were you like that as
means?
A kid?
No.
Did you watch a lot of TV as a kid?
Yeah.
Local
I was a TV
news?
Junkie.
You
yes.
were? Okay.
Yeah. But I can look at camera angles and mm-hmm. lighting without, like, an empty room. Paul and Jeremy and I walked in here and we saw this.
You could see it.
I can see it.
Wow. I don't have that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
no.
have been able
to. Oh, gosh.
Some
no.
people have it, some people don't.
And it's just. Yeah, it's just a different thing, and I can do that. I don't know why, but I just can.
Mm-hmm.
And then we execute it.
And here we are.
And here
in
we are.
In the Hot Mic studio.
Look at that.
And
yeah.
that's why we had to bring you on. We also needed to ask, can we get a plant? A fake plant?
Well, let's talk
budget. We need another
first.
One.
Yes.
We have a budget. All right, we'll get to that maybe after.
Yeah.
When the
yeah.
mics are not hot.
Yeah.
We're always improving here, right, too? Nothing's ever done. That's what I like about working here is you mm-hmm. can come up with an idea and maybe it's not fully formed, but we start it.
Yeah.
Right. And we're figuring things out as we go along.
Yeah.
And that's also kind of part of TV.
Nothing's ever done.
No.
Because it's always changing and you can always get better. It's what I think. You can always improve.
Yeah.
And that can be tiring sometimes. Right.
Yeah.
It can be. But the more people work with me, I think they understand.
Mm-hmm.
I will push and push. And push and push.
My grandpa always used to say, if better is even possible, good is not enough.
Right.
So that
Ooh,
kind of reminds
yeah.
me of what you're saying.
And I always, here's my philosophy for this thing that we call WLAX-TV. I just want to leave it better than when I got here. Whatever that means,
mm-hmm.
I want it to be a great, it is a great television station. Whatever's beyond great is what I want it
mm-hmm.
to be. And I'm going to pour all I have into it. And I want people around me that are going to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only time I have a problem with people is if they are not willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
This makes me want to go make some television.
Let's go.
I know.
Let's
I want to go do a show right now. Let's
yeah.
get out there.
Fired up.
Yeah.
That's a good leader. It inspires that.
This is really good. Yeah.
I think we have time for a couple more quick questions, and then you are the GM, so I imagine you have, you know, meetings and
yeah,
things.
You know,
and
like, yeah,
kind of busy.
That
do,
stuff.
But,
yeah. Okay.
Should we pull up another picture? I think we have more.
Whoa.
There we go.
All right.
That is a throwback.
That's a throwback. That's.
What are those screens? I don't even.
Listen, that's got to be like... circa. That's 90s.
Wow. Okay.
That's 90s.
That is old
Whoa,
school.
Check out the.
That was a big
to Grass Valley
Sean.
300 switcher. Big. That's what I first learned to direct on.
Wow.
What are those big screens? Those are televisions,
that kind of
you guys.
Like, who I want to get.
That's what those things are.
The Grass
that
Valley
was the
300.
Control room.
Here at the station,
the old building.
Okay,
right. So that's the switcher in front of me. To the left is the commercial editor. Like it was right there. I just spun around and
wow.
made commercials.
That's really
that's
cool.
Yeah, that was the 90s. That's big clothes. That's big t-shirt.
Big sleeves.
Hey, big sleeves.
Big sleeves.
It's fun to see how style has changed too. Because the women at the time on air, I kind of have shoulder pads today. But. Big shoulder pads and the hair was different and it was totally.
No, that has to be, I totally mean, that different. Could be early 90s.
Yeah. Did you see right around when we were celebrating our 70th anniversary as a station, an old segment was circulating on Twitter and it was when LEX18 moved into this building.
Oh,
did
yeah.
you guys
no.
see that? And it was
someone
like, lightning fast computer. So then it was a tight shot of someone typing on this dinosaur computer and hundreds of miles of wires and cords. It was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Now that sounds
so
old school.
Yeah.
But it was a thing in those days.
Mm-hmm.
Computers were a thing.
Lightning fast.
Lightning fast. They were incredibly slow. You guys would throw them out the window right now.
We have everything here now.
You have everything
so
there.
Fast.
That didn't exist. Yeah. So that's how the industry's changed, but we still did quality news in those days. Mm-hmm. They used typewriters and printed out scripts and all that.
It's always gotten done. The technology.
We always do our news.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't matter what happens.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just interesting that, like, looking at that, like, I was a child.
Totally.
I was a child.
Here we go. Be a close up.
Look at that guy right there.
That's a nice shot.
It is cool. It does kind of take you back in time a little bit.
You almost look like when it's the tight shot, you almost look like a singer, like getting ready to, it looks like
in the booth.
Oh, yeah. No, it wasn't that.
If you could go back and tell young Sean where you'd be now, what would he say?
Ooh, you're crazy. He would probably say, okay, how do I get there? What do I need to do to get there? Can you, tell me the shortcut to get there. Right?
Yeah.
I've always believed that I can do this. And sometimes it comes off as arrogance or I'm not trying to be like that, but I can do TV.
Mm-hmm.
I just can. So I know that God has blessed me to do this. And whatever happens, it's meant to happen for a reason. Mm-hmm. There is no logical reason I should be sitting in the seat that I'm sitting today.
Why do you say that?
What other people with my background have you been in? That's a general manager.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any.
I don't know any.
None.
Right.
Right. And the way I've done it makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I talk to other people, they still ask me, how did you do that?
Other people in the business.
Other people in the business.
Yeah.
Other GMs look at me like I'm like a ghost or weird, like they really do.
Have you ever had anyone doubt you?
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I told my production people this story because I need counseling for this one. I carry a grudge to this day.
Really?
From the 90s. I'm carrying it every day trying to prove an individual wrong. I'm not going to say his name.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'm proving him wrong every day because he told me that I didn't have what it takes to work in this business.
Wow.
I was a brand new person working at this TV station. And in one of the reviews, I told him I wanted to direct. And he told me, probably should think about something else. I don't think you have what it takes to work in this business.
That'll get you going.
Yeah. I mean, the best response to that is to do exactly what you've done and work hard and get to this level.
Right. I carry it with me to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's, probably should talk to somebody about that. Like, that's
it kind of does make you sad because you know you feel bad when someone's feelings are hurt. But I think a lot of people in TV have had that moment where someone thinks they can't
and
do it.
Yeah. It didn't hurt my feelings even.
Mm-hmm.
I just walked out. I was like, okay.
I'll show you.
Yeah.
Come talk to me in 30 years.
I think I talked to Richard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Richard knows who it is. He knows when it happened.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. And here's how the world works. It was probably about 8-10 years ago. That person contacted me for a job.
No way.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Sure did. I said, okay. No, thanks.
Yeah. That also goes to show, too, that TV is all about how you treat people.
It is.
You
this
know,
is not,
it's a small
it
world.
It is a small world. You guys know this. You come across people and you will come across them again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about how you treat people. And mm-hmm. really, my parents taught me that. My family taught me that.
Mm-hmm.
None of us are better or worse than the next one. We're all different. Mm-hmm. And you just accept people for the way they are.
Yeah.
And you treat them with respect and dignity.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Simple. And if you do that, then everything will be okay. Everybody's not going to like each other. Not going to get along with people. You can argue. That's fine, too.
Mm-hmm.
But you treat everybody with respect.
Totally.
And to me, that's simple. And really, when I've come across people in this business, I have so many close friends that I've met from Lafayette, Louisiana, to the Central Coast of California, to Montana.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That just, we bonded in this business. There's good people. No, I couldn't be more different than Don Ward, who's in Lafayette.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's from New Orleans. When he gets talking fast, I was like,
what are you saying?
But he thinks my Kentucky accent is funny, but he's a great individual. Mm-hmm. Right? Dan Stark. You guys know Dan in Montana?
Yeah. Oh, I know the name. Yeah.
Great Falls.
We know Great Falls.
I would say I know the name. I don't know if I've met him.
Great guy.
In person.
Right? But he's a Montana. He grew up in Montana. Mm-hmm. He sends me pictures of him killing an elk and climbing, riding a snowmobile.
Just another day.
Just another day in Montana.
They do have all sorts of
right? They
cool
have great,
hobbies
cool
out there.
Things,
yeah.
And he knows that I don't have no concept of that.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll send me pictures.
Yeah.
And when I complain about the winters here, I like to text Dan because he'll fire back at me.
Ha ha. Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
So things like that that I would not have been able to do without this mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah.
Right? I've been able to work with great people, meet athletes and stars, and did a live show, not a live show in those days, but recorded a show in a prison at the electric chair. Like,
wow.
Field produced for Sunday Night Football for NBC mm-hmm. with Kenny. It's how Kenny Rice and I got to be mm-hmm. friends. I've done so many things because of this business and been able to do it in my home. That's unheard of.
Yeah.
So I don't take it for granted for one second.
I love that.
Me too.
As good reporters, we have to ask you, we always ask at the end of every interview, is there anything we did not ask you, Sean, that you wanted to mention? Any final message?
Listen, you guys know this is not my thing.
Well, I love that you said it wasn't your thing, but you did a great job.
Yeah,
so.
I spent years avoiding being in front of the camera. If you see me walk in the studio, pay attention. I never walk in front of a camera, ever.
I feel like something has to be wrong if you're walking into the studio sometimes.
Sometimes.
That makes me nervous.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Sometimes I just talk to Bill or one of the weather people.
See what's going on. Yeah.
But no, I don't think so. You guys are awesome. I'm glad we're doing this. I'm glad this has come to light. I feel like we're starting something. Like, this is another chapter that we've started.
Totally.
So where is this going to grow and move? And what's the next step for us all? That's what I'm excited about all the time.
I love it. Well, our viewers, our viewers really get to see the people who are on air, but they rarely get to see mm-hmm. everyone behind the scenes that makes this happen. So I'm so glad that we could kind of introduce you to some people who may not know who you are.
Who's running things here?
Who is running the show?
I'm not sure I'm running anything.
Well,
I'm just trying to keep the train on the tracks.
That's all we need sometimes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sean Franklin, thank you so much for coming on Hot Mic. And to our viewers and our listeners, we'll see you next time.
Thank you, guys.